Welcome to the Two Moms and a Mic podcast. We are Briggs and Dodson, two seasoned moms with a collective of eight kids and an abundance of chaos. We bust ass, fail often, and love fiercely. We're queens with broken crowns. Our intention is to create a community for moms and parents surviving the modern suburban world of raising teenagers. We also intend to drink. Join us for our raw episodes as we navigate stages of midlife while parenting multiple children and thriving with teenagers. Actually, they're trying to kill us. Raise your glasses and tune in. Cheers. Good morning, and guess what?
Good morning, Dodson. What?
I'm sorry. I'm just so excited that we're both here and it's not 8 a.m. And remember how for so long we were like, oh crap, it's turning noon because it just took us so long to get things moving.
Yes.
It's 10:25 and we're going to raise our glasses like we're supposed to.
Oh, yes.
Ready? To morning.
To morning. Cheers, Dodson.
Oops,
slam it down.
Oh, slam it for the spirit. Keep it out of your eyeball.
Ah, all right.
I love the sound of that ice in there making some music for us.
Yeah, the rock ice and Bentner whistles.
Love that wet whistle.
We got it.
Okay.
All right. That's a good start.
It is a good start.
Yeah.
Everything is better with bourbon.
It sure is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're probably being judged up, down, and sideways.
I don't know. I feel like we're okay with the judgment so far. I mean, I didn't get anybody on my shit about getting my boobs done except for my kids.
Really?
Honestly. Because they're so modest.
They are very modest.
They're either too modest or people just don't think that I'm open to their criticism, which is fine by me. But I didn't hear one negative thing. I really didn't.
I'm
3 months out.
Yeah.
I know. So I don't think we're being judged that much or people don't care enough to tell us, which is the same thing.
Well, I think everybody should hopefully have enough going on in their own lives to be worrying about what's going on in ours.
Please, but deal with your own chaos.
Yeah. This is the thing about us putting ourselves out here doing this. And
what, drinking in the morning?
Drinking in the morning, doing podcasts, talking about the things that we talk about. I think that we are definitely opening ourselves up for all kinds of judgment.
Yes. But it's okay.
But here's the thing. Because we, for the most part, and thank God for the people that we surround ourselves with, for the most part, we have a ton of support.
We do.
I feel like that we've had a ton of positivity and encouragement
completely.
And all of that. We have had a couple of Debbie Downers.
Yeah, but constructive feedback, no mean attacks or anything. Lots of enthusiasm. And we have our event coming.
We have our event coming up, yes. I think that's completely out of...
I can tell you're not one bit nervous to take the stage or anything.
Well, it's completely out of my comfort zone.
I know. It's going to be interactive, though. It's fine. And we'll have bourbon. Don't you worry.
Right. It's something new. And it's something And I think that that's definitely going to be an opportunity for big time judgment that night.
Well, make sure you've got your outfit in check. Okay. Toss the hair, check the nails. Is that how the song goes?
What song is that?
The Lizzo one that all the kids are doing.
Oh, Lizzo.
What the hell is it called?
I don't know the name of that shit. But I saw this quote that I really love.
What?
And I kind of...
Why didn't you text to me, nerd?
I should have. I just recently saw it. And I think that this made me feel better about doing our live thing coming up.
Okay.
It says, be brave enough to suck at something new.
Oh. It's like your phone is a spy and it's reading your mind. It's perfect. It's okay if we suck at what we do because we're doing it with real and loving hearts.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's what makes it okay. If we suck because our agenda was to make sales or something lame, well, then we would feel like huge losers. But that's not what we're doing. So
yeah, exactly. And plus, entering into the new year, it's fun to focus on something that you feel passionate about. And we just have to go into this, especially the live thing, knowing that we're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. We're not going to be everybody's deal. But you know what? We want to spread just our positivity and our experiences and our sometimes negativity.
No, I like that.
Our realness.
That's a good intangible goal and something that I think you can do without having to measure yourself in a critical way. You know, you can just keep moving forward with that.
Right. I agree.
Because it's vague. I like the vague and ambiguous goals where I'm like, yeah, I'm still there, even though I can't lift my head today. Still moving.
Right. That's a win.
That's a win.
Did you lift your head off of the pillow?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Did you open your eyes? I mean, yeah, you just got to keep lowering the bar.
Eyes are open. Hey, just lower the bar until you feel like a winner.
Yeah. Did you take a breath? Oh, man. Anyways, so what's going on today?
Okay, so I know that this is a real thing in the world of mothering, especially big families, but and not just for mothers, but I feel like for where we live and where we are in our lives, that like housekeeper day is a thing, right? So today is our housekeeper day at my house, and she starts very early. Well, they
do you clean for your cleaning lady?
Of course,
yeah.
Break into a sweat, and they're like, can you turn the heat down? I'm like, yeah, for sure. Like, we're all running around crazy.
Yeah, it's not just cleaning lady and day. It's like cleaning team of the house.
And then, and at 7, I'm trying to get the kids out, too. And they're
that is a terrible, terrible time for her to come.
It's absolutely insane.
It's very stressful, but again,
so
blessed.
Oh, it's a huge blessing.
Yeah, of course.
I think part of our brand and part of our show is that it goes without saying, sometimes it's said, that we have all these abundant blessings in love.
Mm-hmm.
And the realness that goes with that.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and be so naive to be like, it's perfectly easy when I'm getting dressed in front of people that I don't know that are trying to dust around my naked ass. No problem at all. No, it's actually extremely annoying. I'm like, could you just give me like one quick second? I mean, I can't even shower because it's too much at that time with people getting out and everything. I just want to put my clothes on by myself.
I know.
That's my goal. And today I didn't. It was sharing and caring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
I hardly ever get dressed alone.
But with your, do you get dressed in front of your cleaning ladies though?
I have gotten dressed, typically not in front of my cleaning ladies. I have in the past, they've walked in on me.
Well, yeah.
I don't just, like, if they're in a room cleaning, I'm not like, oh, and it's time for me to take off my robe.
Well, there's
like,
just nowhere for them to go today because the kids are downstairs. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, can you wait to do the third floor? Brian's trying to get out. His stuff's all over. So I'm like, well, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Come snuggle with me while I brush my teeth.
Right.
We're good.
What about someone that just wishes, like their biggest wish is to have a cleaning lady?
Well, I think that's part of what makes me feel okay in saying it, because I used to think that would be the best thing in the whole world, because I grew up being my mother's cleaning lady.
Me too.
And I feel blessed and amazing that now I have people come and help me, because I can't truly do it all though.
No.
I also think the cleaning lady thing is a symptom of the fact that we don't have these extended families the way that we should be as humans and mammals. We're not supposed to do it by ourselves. It's impossible.
We're like the only culture in the world that takes everything on ourselves.
So
the child rearing, the raising, the clean,
the
cooking.
Who can do it all?
Yeah.
It's impossible.
It is.
Plus with these kids being such slobs.
Oh.
That's
not helping
why
much.
This all works together perfectly fine, because this is our thing to talk about today is, well, partly like, oh my God, can you clean your room? And what I wanted to discuss, since I've got this child chef, is kids in the kitchen.
Oh God. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of those.
Kids in the kitchen?
Yep.
Yeah. Executing their own free will. And
I have two
and
chefs in my house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go for it. I want to hear it.
Well, I'm not going to take this away from them, because I absolutely love that they enjoy cooking, that they experiment with food and recipes. And one of them, I mean, typically people would think of that as being a girl, which my daughter is definitely one of them. She's always cooking her own stuff. She kind of goes through these phases of she wants to be vegetarian, and then she wants to try keto, and then she wants to just only eat quinoa.
We had the keto thing for a while. It was really yummy.
Yeah.
MK made this amazing like shrimp dish, but it's gone. She's not keto anymore.
Not keto anymore.
No.
But so she likes to experiment. She researches, she looks up recipes. I mean, but she goes all out with every, like a recipe with 100 different ingredients.
Right. Like she's making the sauce to put on.
She makes things from scratch.
Does she make it for all of you?
She has.
Oh, nice.
A lot of times she'll just cook for herself though.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Cooking for a family of six is a lot.
Daunting.
It is.
I love when they all make their own little meals though, because I'm like, oh, now I'm only cooking for a family of three.
Exactly.
Like, okay, three down, three to go.
That happened.
Who wants boiled water?
Yeah, that happened last night.
I love it.
I came home and two of my kids had already, the two chefs, as I call them,
already ate.
They already cooked their own food.
Now, then do you say to one of them, like, well, you just go engrave, find some old crackers and salami
or something,
just to get rid of another number to feed?
Absolutely.
Me too.
100%.
Like, oh, didn't you like that new cereal? Stop looking at me. Don't make me cook.
I know. I love the fact that they have that life skill and that they enjoy it.
That says something about you as a mom, though, that you've empowered them and given them permission to destroy your kitchen. I mean, cheers to you.
Well, but it's all not positive because I feel the cleanup should be part of that process. So when you have used 100 ingredients and you have used all my pots and pans and all my bowls and all my utensils to make this special meal that you found on recipes.com, then you need to clean it up.
Well, because don't leave me with that shit. You have to come in and make something for three other people and you don't have a clean pot.
Right.
And the sink is full.
Overfull.
Yes.
Overfull. So I do appreciate when they are in the kitchen making their stuff and trying new things, but I hate the cleanup.
It's horrible.
And they don't always do it on their own.
No, I know.
Like, they'll leave it.
You're left choosing to either do it for them or ride their asses to make them come back and do it. But it's generally right before my teenager will make her meal right before I make everyone else a meal.
Same.
Mm-hmm. And she'll go for it. I hear her in the morning when she's downstairs making the Vitamix work for a living. This piece of shit blender. I'm like, no, that's a Vitamix. Go a little easier on it.
Yeah, that was a $700 blender, my dear.
Calm it down a little bit.
Yeah.
She's like, it didn't puree my glob of frozen stuff in 0.5 seconds.
Well, because you don't put any water in it.
Why don't you add a little liquid? She's just making it work.
I know. And
every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather hear the coffee percolating than the whole of the Vitamix.
I know. But it's good that they are stepping up taking ownership.
She's owning her body and nutrition fully.
Mm-hmm. My daughter is doing the same thing. She's making like full on meals for herself and like meal prepping.
Oh, nice. She'll even plan. Wow.
She puts them in little Tupperwares in the fridge.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Life skills right here.
It is really, I mean, so stuff like that, I appreciate. I don't appreciate the mess.
The mess is a nightmare.
Because I will tell you, if I go up in her room, maybe like the next day or something.
The dishes?
Oh my God.
Now that has to be a crime. I can't even begin to believe, I mean, knock on all the wood and drink all the bourbon, that we don't have critters. I can't begin to understand these rotten dishes in the bedroom.
I mean,
and
like,
why
like,
am I not the mom that's having an absolute tantrum over that? Because I know that there are moms that are like on that shit.
Do people actually have children that bring all their... I don't even want them bringing the dishes in the room in the first place.
Well, I don't either. That upsets me.
But you know what? They do it. I can't police that
24/7. Gross.
You know, when my kids come down here... My kids are teenagers. They're going to come down here at 1 in the morning and make something. And then they're going to bring it up to the room. What am I going to do? Jump out of bed and run after them and say, don't leave that plate in your room.
If you were a better mom.
No, yeah, right? Well, we... I'm just going to strive for mediocre. I'm just going to strive for okay.
I'm just giving you shit. I think it's the good mothering that gives them the freedom. And then part of being that kind of a good mom and letting them own it is that we need to sit here and bitch about it because it's gross.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Especially if they're not bringing the stuff down and cleaning it and then you're stuck doing it.
Well, yesterday, so God bless MK's sweetheart when she's in the kitchen caring for others because I don't want anything to do with her green smoothie bullshit.
Yeah.
But she'll make me like the world's best egg sandwich with a perfectly cut avocado. Like when she uses her skills to love on others, I think I'm winning as a mom.
Absolutely.
So she made one for me and Rose yesterday. It was amazing. I gobbled it down even though I'm trying not to eat bread. It was so good. Well, Rose took 3 bites and then left it in her room to rot for like I found it this morning.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
You left an egg in your room for, I mean, it's an egg for Christ's sake. It's not even a bowl of cereal. It's an egg.
I bet that smelled wonderful.
Oh my God.
Gross.
One day, if I'm like, what's that smell?
Yeah.
I'm just going to know. It's just this hovering, like wafting smell of freedom in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing worse than walking into a kid's room where they have leftover oatmeal or
the crusty stuff.
Gross. Nothing. You have to get a chisel.
That's why we only buy our dishes from IKEA, because they're just going to ruin them.
That's a really good idea.
We just buy way too many white ones from IKEA, and then they just ruin them.
Yeah.
And then we get new ones.
I like that. I should do that.
Yeah.
I use a lot of paper plates.
Or that. We're so not earth friendly.
I know.
We're surviving. We're doing other friendly things.
It makes me feel bad, but at the same time,
raising good humans.
I'm trying.
The trash dishes.
Yeah. I don't use paper plates every day, but I do keep them for when my kids, if they're home alone or if they're having a million friends over.
I don't do the paper plate thing so much. What I do have is constant water bottles, though.
Oh, the water.
The Californians are going to hate us because.
Oh, God. I mean, I hate myself for doing it.
Well, I can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah. I breastfed my nation of children for 95 years. So that's good for the earth. I didn't do all the bottles, huh?
Me too.
Something.
Me too.
Oh, you God know, bless.
We talked about that more than one kid at a time, too. I mean,
Well, it's an earth saver, huh?
Well, okay. So I can use paper plates now because...
You have permission to use paper plates.
You know what? Then they shouldn't sell them, because I'm walking down the aisle in the store and I'm like, damn.
Don't sell things that make us feel guilty, okay? Can that be a rule? Can you outlaw everything that makes us feel guilty? Because my God, every time I buy all those water bottles at Target, I'm like, well, it's their fault for selling it. I mean, I'm just being a good consumer.
You know what, though?
I'm sorry. Ooh, wow.
What was that?
I just scraped my shoe against your floors. They're so clean, Wiggs.
They're not.
Your floors are literally squeaky clean.
No. I don't think so.
Oh, gosh.
On Christmas, I host Christmas Eve every year, and I had 20 people here.
Of course.
And
for a meal.
For a meal,
yeah.
That I was cooking. Everybody brought stuff and contributed or whatever, but the water bottles. I was that person that put the Sharpie out on the counter.
Oh.
And I said, write your name on that water bottle, because if someone takes a sip and leaves it on the counter.
That was smart of you. I mean, the turtles thank you.
It's annoying. Like when you go to someone's house and they're like, make sure you write your name on the cup or the
red
water bottle.
Cup.
Right. But I can't stand the water bottles, like with two sips out of it and then it's just left there.
I just pour them into the dog bowl.
I pour them in the dog bowl. And if I know that it wasn't, if it was just my kids or me or whatever, I'll put it in my coffee pot or whatever.
Me too. Germs are good for you.
Keep your immunity up. I was so thirsty when I was cleaning upstairs the other day that I saw a half drink water bottle in my son's bedroom.
And you chugged it.
And I chugged
it. I've done the same thing.
But have you ever done that and been like, oh my God, what's in there?
One time when Brian Dodson spit his tobacco out into it and I didn't see it right away.
Oh, that is disgusting.
That was super delicious.
Oh, Brian.
Oh, gross.
Oh, that is disgusting.
It's nasty. It'll make you want to vomit.
Well, then mine does not compare to that. Oh. It was just shocking because you just think that you're drinking plain water. So he had taken a wad of gum.
Oh, gross.
And put it in there. And so when I was done chugging the water bottle,
it tasted like stale mint.
Blueberry or something. Oh, no, gross. It was like blueberry gum or grape gum or something like that.
If you close your eyes or squint hard enough, it'll just taste like Crystal Light.
I know. I was like, my God, that is disgusting. I'm always afraid with a house full of boys, though.
Ew.
That one day I'm going to chug a water, just not even look at it. I'm just going to chug it and it's going to be full of piss or something. I don't know. Boys are disgusting.
I do not think that my girls are any less nasty.
Girls can be just as nasty.
They gross me out. I don't know. I only have girls, so I don't have a frame of reference, but
my daughter's bedroom is worse than my boys all combined.
They are pigs.
Yeah.
Were you
a pig when you were little?
No.
Did you keep your room clean as
a
teenager?
I loved my room and I was grateful for it. And I liked to clean it and dust my things and not have it be disgusting. I mean, of course I would throw down clothes after a late night, but.
Clothes are different. Clothes are not food.
I just have to close the door and say a prayer because gross.
I had carpet in my bedroom when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I used to want perfect vacuum marks in my bedroom.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah.
I like to stomp all over people's perfect vacuum marks and mess them up.
Yeah. I just liked having a clean room. I did not have a slobby room when I was a kid. Not my sisters, because I had four girls in my household growing up.
Yeah.
And I had a couple sisters whose bedrooms were just tornadoes.
It's
but I
so
was not
gross.
Like that.
Well, even today, she put a sign on her door. Ice, please stop. Don't clean mine.
Yep.
Because she wants to do it herself. It's not bad today. But I remember there was a day a couple weeks ago, she wanted me to take her somewhere. And I said, no. And she said, why not? And this was via text. So I just sent her a picture of her bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I do that all the time.
This is just why.
Yeah.
Because look at your room.
It's disgusting.
It can't even walk.
Do the girls flush their toilets?
Oh, we are not going to talk about this.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know what I've
usually taught them all. Usually it's like the boy thing where
right.
they piss all over and they don't flush.
Okay, so we have an old house.
Mm-hmm.
So the second floor toilet is feeling its age. Even
okay.
though it's a new toilet, the plumbing with it is just feeling the age of the house.
Okay.
So I try to make a rule that no, you don't poop there. There are other toilets that you can poop in. You don't poop in that one. Well, they do anyway because that's the one by their rooms.
Okay.
Well, new rule. You poop in it, you plunge it.
Yeah.
So they all know how to plunge it now. Oh my God, the other day, Frankie goes, when I was plunging, some of the water squirted up and hit me in the face. I'm like, well, now you have to take a shower and get away from me.
Gross.
Why don't you just not poop it? I mean, please don't poop in that toilet. If you do, and you use an entire roll of toilet paper, and you have to plunge it, just go take a shower now.
Right.
Gross.
And it squirted her in the face. That is just disgusting.
But you know how you're plunging.
How can you handle that?
How do I handle it?
Like, do you have to plunge?
From a safe distance. That's how I handle it.
Yeah, exactly. How are the kids as far as in the kitchen? You have some chefs in your house. So do they clean up after themselves as part of their cooking process? Because I think with my kids are cooking and they think that they've made this wonderful meal or whatever, that the cleanup part of it is somehow separate. Whereas I'm like, no, this is part of the whole thing. You are not done until you have cleaned up your mess.
I mean,
I'm not
going
to stand here and wait for you to be done so that I can clean up all your pots and pans.
No.
That's crazy.
The joy of cooking is incomplete without the hell of the cleanup.
It's part of it.
I make MK cleanup.
But does she do it on her own or do you have to nag her about it?
I have to threaten her.
Yeah, exactly. Then why?
But she does it.
She will, without a problem.
Yeah, but remember I'm very selective in my threats and very clear and precise in them. I don't give them often, but when I do say something like, I'll ruin your life and shave your head if you don't do those dishes, I will. So she does the dishes.
I will shave your head off.
Oh, I've said, no, I said, I'm going to shave your hair while you
we'll
sleep.
Shave your hair while you
I'm
sleep.
I'm going to
yeah.
shave your hair while you sleep. God, Mom, why are you so mean? Why do you say things like that? I'm like, well, I wouldn't have to if you would just clean up.
Right.
I wouldn't have to threaten you with Krampus.
Krampus.
And Krampus will come and get you and put you in his bag and take you back to his lair. Lair. How do you say it?
I have no idea.
Scary cave.
Is that where he lives?
Well,
I don't really know the story.
He has a scary cave area that he drags the naughty children to, yeah.
Explain what Krampus is.
He's like the evil.
Because I didn't know
this
before.
He's the evil alter ego of Jolly Saint Nick.
So what,
do you know anything about the Krampus? Like, there are full-blown Krampus parties with like devil horns and the whole thing. He's the devil version. There's good
and evil. The only time I... No, you have introduced me to Krampus.
I have
never,
that shirt.
Yes.
Where
that's
he's,
when
taking
you
he's taking the young child away.
Yes.
That's what he does.
And that shirt was frowned upon at the bus stop
school
or something.
Just
tell that story real quick.
Just to be that mom. It's not a story.
Oh, I remember that. You wore it and one of the moms got offended.
Well, a kid was like, what's that on your shirt? And it's a picture of a huge beast grabbing a child. It's a Krampus shirt.
Right.
Sorry.
But like, if I would have seen that, I wouldn't even have known what that was.
Well, this was a very inquisitive child and I'm probably too honest. I'm like, oh, that's Krampus. And the mom was like, oh, yeah, well, so we're just going to walk away now. Don't look, honey. That's just Mrs. Dodson's weird shirt. Sorry. Sorry.
She's like covering her child's eyes.
I'm trying to keep my kids on edge a little bit. I'm wearing a Krampus shirt just so they can know, like, keep a little element of fear and clean your shit up.
Is it a fairy tale?
It's a myth.
Okay.
Yeah, but so is Saint Nick.
Right. I know the Saint Nick. I just did not know the story.
Well, I'm going to blow your phone up with Krampus stuff. Now, there's a whole celebration, like, where you go and, like, dress up like Krampus devils. There's a dark holiday.
Where does this
So we do St. Nick at our house on December 5th.
Okay. So you do the threat. Gifts and the shoes and
yes,
all that.
With
okay.
The threat of Krampus might show up with his bag. So keep yourselves in line.
Is that bad?
I'm scaring them for Christmas? It's probably okay, right?
Listen, I think that whatever you have to do to get through each day is what you have to do. I don't
to get through the day. I just enjoy the shit out of the Krampus idea. Well, I think it's awesome.
So he comes and takes the kid and put the kid in a bag?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's scary and dark.
That's terrifying.
Where does he take them?
Okay, so you know where they're like, he sees you when you're sleeping, better be good. Well, if you're not, then Krampus might be the person that shows up.
Okay, and puts you in a bag, and then what is he?
I don't know.
That's terrifying. I just said you're going to be kidnapped and, like, put in a bag.
I had to tell them the truth because last year the little girls were like, is Krampus going to show up? I'm like, no, it's a myth, but be good. It's totally a myth. Also, sleep with one eye open.
Oh, my gosh.
Now we're open to the judgment.
Of course.
Yeah, because I'm using Krampus as a parenting strategy, not accept.
Yeah. Apparently not if you're getting the side eye at preschool or kindergarten or wherever you were.
This Two Moms and a Mic episode is sponsored by Ballsy. Ladies, if you are tired of stressing about what to get your man for Valentine's Day, you must check out this super fun gift set from Ballsy. The I'm Nuts About You gift set offers ball wash, activated charcoal wash packed with essential oils and plant extracts, nut rub, solid cologne for keeping your boys below and full body smelling fresh. Comes in 6 fragrances. Sack spray, portable deodorizing spray, great for freshening up on the go, perfect for gym bag or after workouts when there's no time to shower. Also, another gift set is Your Incredibles, Heartbox limited edition Valentine's Day only gift set with 3 cologne fragrances. There are over 200,000 satisfied customers with a price point of under $50. We are so excited to be partnering up with the Ballsy brand this Valentine's Day season and would like to offer you a very special promo code. The retail price is $45, but when you use our coupon code 2MOMS20, you will receive an amazing 20% off of your purchase. Please visit ballwash.com to place your order and use 2MOMS20 as your promo code. That's TWOMOMS20. Ladies, enjoy that ball wash. Cheers and happy Valentine's Day.
So honestly, 5 out of the week, do they cook every single day? Because I'm dealing with 3 meals a day in my kitchen every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because my darling, talented, self-motivated teenager makes all of her own food.
Oh, you never have to cook for her?
3 times a day.
Okay.
Well, if I cook for her, I would have to cook vegan for everybody, and nobody else wants that because bacon.
Right.
So no, she does her own. She does her own.
But you don't, because you're not going to say, oh, well, I'm going to be making lasagna for the entire family with meat sauce, and I'm going to be making you a...
I'm not doing that.
Zucchini.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Nope.
A zucchini lasagna with daya cheese or whatever
is. Remember when that cheese came out? It's like $9 and it's rubber.
Yeah.
If I do that, I'm doing it for everybody, and I'm probably not going to do some dairy-free thing. I'm going to do, like, this is good enough vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I mean, really.
But if she's really being radical about her diet right now, which sounds like she is,
yes,
then it sounds like she wants to just kind of take charge of her own thing in the kitchen right now.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess I've given her the power for that. My opportunity is in making sure she cleans up after herself.
Right.
After she makes the Vitamix work for a living. She needs to clean it and love on it a little bit.
That is a bang. That thing gets used in my house every single day with my kids.
We have one base and 2 of the blenders.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Well, Well, thank God.
Because mine's in the dishwasher like all the time. Multiple times a day.
Yeah. Well, we have that Nutribullet crap too.
Oh, okay.
Anything you need to blend up those veggies.
Yeah.
Oh, gross. Yeah.
My daughter is kind of going through this too, where she's very, very health conscious and conscious of what type of food she's putting in her body. So the other day, I picked up my kid from a basketball tournament. The kid was starving. He's a high school 15-year-old boy. He just played basketball for 4 hours.
Yeah,
you know?
Bacon.
I picked him up and he was like, I am starving to death. Can we just please drive? And it was like an odd time of the day too that I picked him up. So it wasn't like dinner's ready or whatever. And he was like, can we please go through Portillo's?
I knew you were going to say that.
And I'm like, absolutely.
Of course. Here's 5 hot dogs.
Right. Eat whatever you want because you're super active and whatever.
Yeah.
He goes through, he gets extra large cheese fries and hot dogs and cheeseburger,
Wait,
whatever.
I mean, like, if you don't mind a little belly flap, that cheese sauce for like the first 5 bites of fry is so good. It's so gross, but it's
I
so
think
good.
The cheese is disgusting.
Oh, I like it for like 5 bites.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Okay.
While it's hot.
Yeah. I don't. I do not like that cheese. But anyway, we come home. And of course, when I go through Portillo's, I'm thinking to myself, okay, who else at home is going to be hungry while I'm here? I might as well also pick up a chopped salad for whoever. No tomatoes, no cheese, whatever. Go home. And of course, I know my boys are going to want the cheese fries, right? I know my daughter's going to want a chopped salad, no tomatoes.
Instead of you. It's very thoughtful.
And if not right now, then maybe you can have it tomorrow for lunch,
right,
whatever.
Right, just so you have it.
But she'll come down in the kitchen and then she'll be like thankful that I got her the salad that she wanted. Then she'll be pissed off because there will be like 3 large cheese fries there. And she's like, why would you put these in front of me? What am I going to eat? I don't want to eat these. And I'm like, well, they're not for you. They're not for you. They're for your brothers. Well, why would you bring this stuff in the house? Because then I'm going to want it. And then, you know, and it's fattening. And
it's for Mrs. Dodson.
And I'm like, it's not for you. But that's the thing. Like when you're trying to please, you can't meet everybody's needs all the time. Right. And you cannot make everybody happy all the time. So I do not try that anymore.
We did the Portillo stinky thing the other day and little Miss Darling, Crisp as a Cucumber vegan, walked through and it stinks, but she was horrified. She's like, what in God's name is that smell? She knew what the smell was.
Right.
She just had to make a stink out of the whole, like, you guys are dipping fried potatoes in processed cheese. Like she couldn't handle it while she drank her cucumber juice.
Oh my God.
I mean, God bless her.
Right.
And give me a fry.
Right. And keep your comments to yourself.
Or we'll podcast about that.
Right, exactly. My daughter's so funny because just recently she said to me, because when my kids were little, and I know you were the same, when my kids were littler and I had more control over what they ate because they didn't have much of an opinion and they just thought, you know, mom is queen and she brings home whatever from the grocery store and this is what we're going to eat. Lately, my kids, especially my daughter, she's like, what happened to you? Why do you all of a sudden buy all this crap in the house? And before, everything used to be like organic and everything used to, like, you used to shop at, you know, Whole Foods and Trader Joe's all the time. And now there's like 2 extra large disgusting bags of Doritos in the pantry. Like, that's what I'm going to want. And I don't want to eat that. It's disgusting and it's bad for me. Why do you bring that crap in the house? Well, you know what? Because evolution. I don't eat Doritos, but
they stink.
But you know what?
Frankie brought her Cool Ranch in the car yesterday. Oh my God, I almost died. She tried to touch my phone to change the song. I'm like, don't you even put your nasty
Not
Cool
with
Ranch
the
fingers.
Nope.
Not with Cool Ranch fingers.
No.
Gross.
No, but that's...
Lick them off, wipe them on your jeans, and then still don't touch.
Right. But when your kids get older, they start to, Mom, can you please buy... Because then they go over to their friends' houses, and they're like,
well,
oh my God, everybody else's house has
everybody
so much better food
yummier.
Than your... Yeah,
always.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. Why do you buy the... We never have any food. I'm like, I just spent $500 at Costco. Make
so
something.
So you can have no food. Well, mine will just grab a million bags of those little mini chips.
Of course. And then throw the bag on the floor when they're done.
They'll just sit in the basement and plow through those. Mm-hmm. I mean, I swear those stupid things are $2 a bag just so you can have a mini bag.
Like the Cheez-Its and stuff?
Yes.
I know.
Well, I got that thing the other day because my older two, they're like, remember when it was just us and had like blueberries and rice cakes? Like, what happened? Well, Cool Ranch Doritos happened.
sometimes if they're asking you to buy something, or if you know that there's going to be a basement full of teenage boys in your house, you're not going to give them blueberries and rice cakes. You're going to order Domino's and chips and Fanta and whatever bullshit they want.
I'm just currently not very invested in the holistic dietary stuff. I did it and I know I'll come back to it one day, but it's not my thing right now. I would rather sit here and drink bourbon and podcast with you rather than chop vegetables. I'm just being honest.
Well, who would want to stand there and chop vegetables all day?
Well, I used to.
Well, I did too.
While I was meditating and listening to classic violin. I mean, what the hell?
Classic violin.
I used to. When I homeschooled, I was like, so for tonight's meal, the music is provided by Gil Shaham. I love Gil Shaham, the violinist.
Okay.
We used to know all of that stuff. My kids would be like, oh, that's Handel. Oh, that's Bach. That we did classical music every night for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I had all that energy. I don't anymore.
Because they don't want to do that now either. Right? Or do they ask?
I don't know.
I mean, Hazel's still young, but...
Oh, she's such a mini little teenager, though.
Yeah.
Because of all the big... She's got all these big sisters.
She's got the big sisters. Right?
Yeah, I don't, you know what? There are other things where my love is focused, and it's just not in making homemade granola bars. It's not.
No. I remember, though, a time that it was, though. Like, for me,
yes.
too. We both lived through that kind of at the same time, like when we were in preschool together.
We did, when we were preschool moms together.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought life was really hard and it was going to get easier. God, we were dumb.
Oh, my God.
Also, we were dumb.
Dumber than a box of rocks. Oh, take me back to those days of the Hobson Co-op school, right?
I know.
Oh, man.
That well, even those snacks there were... They did healthy-ish snacks there, remember?
Yeah, and you had to prepare them there.
Remember,
at the
this was a thing. If a mom brought those, I don't know the brand, but it was like the blueberry muffins that were couldn't be more processed, and they came in a bag, and all you did was like open the bag and dump them out.
Oh, yeah, like the mini muffins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But remember, that became a thing that was like a big no-no because we were all young and idealistic, and it was like, who brought the processed muffins? That is not acceptable for my kid. Do you remember that?
Oh, of course. We couldn't bring store-bought, or what did we, not store-bought, but we couldn't bring, like, didn't it have to be a fresh vegetable or
there
a fresh
were,
fruit
there
or something?
Were a lot of rules.
Yeah. And I remember too, we had to cut. I remember
oh,
it was my day to
process it there.
You had to stand at the counter with a,
yeah.
with a cutting board
that
and I think cut up the apples.
Yes.
While you were there.
Correct.
So while all the kids went outside to play, you would stand inside for a few minutes and cut up
all the
apples.
Well, that was more a health thing.
Yeah.
Well, we did Waldorf school too.
Oh, that's right.
Which there weren't no health guidelines. It was just freedom and love.
Yeah.
The kids made their own brown bread.
Okay.
And then they sang a little song in a circle and blessed it. I mean, that couldn't have been any more holistic.
Yeah, right. Well, nothing good. Nothing
children
is
may come
is
to the table for their grateful blessing.
Oh yeah. Were you at, what is it? Was it Four Winds?
It was.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I looked into that.
Songs and herbs and witchery all day long.
Oh yeah. But see, look how that changes.
Who wants Cool Ranch?
And if you walked into one of those schools in the earlier 2000s with, you know, a bag of Doritos,
no,
oh man, you would have been shunned for life.
No, you would have to not do that.
No.
We would walk in with homemade hummus, not on a paper plate, not on a paper plate, right? It's like in a dish. Then we would wash the dish there.
We were like making our own tahini to make the hummus.
Right.
We were like squashing up the chickpeas.
Wait, instead of buying the chickpeas that are already like hydrated in the can, you buy the dry ones from the organic co-op and then you hydrate
them. Soak
them
in the water all night. Oh my God. It makes me want to die just thinking of it.
Don't you want to do that just for like a month, like as a prank, just to like mess with our kids and be like, wait a minute, get out of the kitchen. Mama has to soak the oats for the morning. Let me go outside and tap that tree for the syrup real fast.
You know what? I'm in the time of my life right now where if I was doing that, I would just be standing in the kitchen alone.
I was always alone in the kitchen. That's all I did.
No, I mean, like, my kids aren't just all hanging around me, like, wanting, you know what I mean?
Like,
my
when they were little?
Yeah.
How they were hanging on your legs and, like, grabbing your pants?
Yeah, and always around me in the kitchen and whatever. Like, now,
yeah,
I'm, like,
cozy.
I'm, like, alone. I'm in that stage right now where I have the teenagers and they're busy with their own things, or they're
I know
going through their own stuff.
Do you like being alone in the kitchen though, or just is it a little sad?
What's weird to me is back in the day when I was never alone and somebody was on my ass 24/7.
Mine would literally like pull on me so much that they would pull my, like I would be wearing a baby and somebody else was pulling my pants down.
I know.
On accident.
Oh, but
like pulling my pants down while I'm trying to cook.
I know.
That wasn't fun.
And those were the days when you would just sit back and think, God, I wish I could just have 20 minutes.
Right. Leave for 20 minutes.
Somebody hanging on me without somebody touching me, without somebody wanting right. something.
But now we're in there all by ourselves.
And or then
they're ruining the kitchen.
It's like a cruel joke.
I know.
Parenting can be like a cruel joke.
Where
sometimes.
Was the in between? Did we miss it? We blinked. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, I can recall one extreme or the other.
The I other don't remember the, I don't remember like the medium.
I don't either. Isn't that weird?
It was either everyone was on my ass or everyone's gone and I can't find anybody. And
right.
I don't know where anybody is. And
right.
I'm like begging them to come home or begging them to come downstairs or,
mm-hmm.
you know, begging somebody
Get
to come eat dinner with me.
Room and come down and make more dishes, please.
Yeah.
At least I have the six-year-old that still wants to play in the kitchen near me, which I love.
Oh, see.
I love
yeah.
a kid playing in the kitchen by me. I just don't love a toddler
that.
Like. Pulling my pants.
And
I remember one of them even bit me once while I was cooking. Like somebody bit me. And I remember just being like, this is not okay. I'm preparing food for you and you're biting me.
You know, and those are
Come
the times
back and
that
bite us. You we look, miss you.
You look back on those fondly because, man, when you're in it, it's
when
like,
you're in
go
it,
away.
It ruins your afternoon because you're like, wait, my kid just bit me while I was cooking. Like, that's not a thing. Why is that a thing?
Oh my God. I don't know if I've ever been bit, but I know that much worse has happened in the kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, everything yeah. really happens in the kitchen, right? I mean, that's the hub.
That's the hub of the house,
yeah.
for sure.
Okay,
absolutely.
So are you going to, is your idea to regulate this freedom and mess at all? Or are you just going to like coast through and be happy that they feed themselves?
I'm going to coast through.
Okay. No Krampus threat?
No. My kids are too old.
Well, I mean, mine that are making the mess are too old. I was meaning it more as like a Krampus or a shaved head or whatever. But you're just going to deal with it?
Well, no. So the type of strategy that I've found has been helpful to me with my kids' ages right now is like I might nag once. Like, hey, can you just clean up your mess?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go all out and I'm going to take your phone away or I'm going to, you know, you're grounded for tonight or whatever. I'm not going to do that. However, the next time they want something from me, which that's inevitable, right?
Yes.
Your kids are always going to need something from you at some point.
I do love that power.
Then that is when you don't want to like always go back and like rehash stuff.
Right.
But I'm not going to just give you 10 bucks to go out with your friends tonight, or I'm not just going to jump up and drive you to the movies with your friends or whatever, when you can't even clean up after yourself in your mess. So it's a give and take thing.
It is.
I'm not
being
here
a responsible
to,
citizen of the house.
Yeah. And I'm not here to just, like, I'm not on this earth to just walk behind and clean up behind everybody. You
no.
guys are
well,
old
and
enough
that's
and capable.
A disservice to them too.
Right. And so the next time I might remind them once, if it doesn't happen, I might do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm going to do it myself and I'm just going to move on with my life.
Right.
And then the next time you want something from me, I'm going to be like, you know what? Last night you left the kitchen a complete disaster and I reminded you to clean it up. You didn't. I ended up doing it myself. It was another half hour of my time
mm-hmm.
that I did not plan on spending cleaning up your mess.
Plus it's gross.
And so, no, I'm not. Find another ride. I'm not doing that.
I do like the power of being able to do that later in a very calm way.
And you
I
can
don't like
you
getting
can.
stressed in the moment and having to fight about it. That's not my way to do that power struggle. I would rather just keep that little thing in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, let's see next time you need
yeah.
this or that. Or and it can be something so small.
Well,
it can be
yeah.
like, you know, next time you need to be picked up from school or whatever. No, you can walk home.
I mean it's,
and I'm not
it's
talking about like walking 5 miles in, you know, below
no,
zero.
No.
But you know what? You have to do your part too.
Right. It's a fair exchange. Energy for energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Moms have sex. I'm not going to operate that way anymore.
No.
You are going to do your part. And so next time, my hope is that next time you will remember that you have to do your part, because when I want $20 from mom,
mm-hmm,
or whatever,
mm-hmm,
then
not if you've got spaghetti under your bed.
No. Nope. No, because it's gonna take like whatever 20 minutes to scrape that off. And
no.
I shouldn't have to do that.
That whole soaking thing is disgusting.
I know.
Yeah, we used to soak like oats and chickpeas, and now we're soaking crusty spaghetti dishes.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I have found that strategy to be really helpful. Is that eventually you will need something from your parents.
And it keeps the stress down too.
For me,
it's selfish. I don't want to freak out over things.
No, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
You don't respond or react to those situations so emotionally.
No,
like,
that doesn't help anybody.
It doesn't. But it happens all the time, because it's really unavoidable sometimes. Like, a person can only handle so much, and everybody has a threshold.
Exactly. Which is why in the moment of being able to be thoughtful enough to say, all right, I'm going to wash these, and there's keep in mind that my kid has to do something in exchange for energy, then we do that,
right?
Because there will be the mommy tantrum still.
Right, of course.
For something else that piles up.
Right.
Yes.
But for those types of things, keep it even keel. Keep it just matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that they're going to want something sooner or later. And that is the carrot that you dangle in front of their face.
Yes.
Is that you will need something.
You cannot have it.
You will not have it until you do this.
I found more gum on the side of my nightstand.
No.
So stop with the gum.
Oh my God.
Really?
All right. So what is your win?
Okay. You know what? My win is that we actually talked about a positive strategy and we agree on it and both know how to use it. I think that's the shit, and
that's
you should raise your glass
win.
To it.
Definitely.
Right? That skill's hard to come by.
It's really hard to come by. I'm not going to lie. That skill and that strategy took me a very long time in my mothering life to develop.
But now I just, like, it just comes out natural, and
yes.
I feel like a damn queen for that.
And I think that it's something very important that I wanted to share for anybody that's listening to this episode, because I think that everybody should give that a try.
Yes.
It works especially better for the older kids.
Well, they have to be able to hold that gratification in their mind, right? It doesn't work if you've got a kid that can't hold cause and effect for more than a few days.
No, it's
but
not going to work for a two-year-old.
No.
You know, but when you have older kids, and that's kind of the target audience that we have is the older kids, not the babies and toddlers.
Mm-hmm.
But I find so many moms that I talk to, they just like lose their shit. And
right.
We're all guilty of that.
Of course.
But when I found this strategy.
When you lose your shit, though, make it be impactful and not just because of another round of dishes.
Right. But when I found this strategy, I felt like it completely shifted my parenting a little bit. And believe me, it's far, far, far from perfect.
It's empowering, though.
It was empowering, and I found a shift in my kids' response. So I want to share that with everybody who is in this stage of life, because you know, the constant nagging, the constant bitching, the constant
it's exhausting.
And do you want to have that type of a relationship with your child? I feel like for a very long time, I felt like all I was doing was like giving orders and disciplining and whatever, and not really making like a connection on a deeper level with my kids,
mm-hmm,
because I'm just constantly doing the surface level, clean up your shit,
well,
clean up your room,
flush
the freaking toilet.
It takes a certain level of stamina to walk away from a clogged fucking toilet and
mm-hmm
be like, you're going to have to plunge that in a calm voice. It really does.
Oh my God.
But who wants to scream about a shitty toilet? I mean, it's bad enough that there's a toilet with it.
Right. I know. Exactly. So, all right.
I'm glad you brought that up. That was good. I don't think we've ever actually discussed this in our mothering lives together. I'm really happy that we did.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
Yeah. And
thanks,
I want
Bryce.
Other people to try it too, because it was not something that came naturally to me at first. Like, I actually had to work at that strategy.
Yeah.
And now that I have found that it works really well. And of course it doesn't work 100% of the time. And I'm not perfect.
I know, the rooms
at,
are still nasty,
well, of
and
course.
There's still gum everywhere.
Right. Right. But it's all in how you approach it.
And because those things are going to be regardless. So is it worth like freaking out and having all the stress over?
No.
When it's still going to happen anyway.
No, because there's other things, at least personally in my life, that are so far beyond more stressful than
100%,
that.
100%, yes.
Like real, actual
crisis.
This
is really about choosing battles carefully.
Yes.
Right? And be very calculated in what you've decided to fight with.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So try it. It's a good strategy. I know I'm going to be continuing to do it myself.
I can't wait to do more this afternoon.
All right.
It's going to be something.
Let's cheers.
All right.
All right.
Cheers.
Have a good one, Dawson.
See ya.